Amen. Well, guys, listen, if you have your Bibles, we are going to be in John 14 this morning. We're just going to be in John 14, so you don't have to turn too much. We'll be in John chapter 14 this morning. I'd also ask that you would grab a bulletin. If you did not get one of these when you came in, or if you would prefer to take digital notes, we've got a QR code that you can scan. Again, same way you did the offering, open up camera app on your phone, point it there. It'll take you to our online digital notes. They are the bomb. We love them. And super helpful. And guys, we do ask that you take notes. Maybe that's different for you if you've been in other churches. So we just think that worship is about participation. So when we sing, we sing. When we pray, we pray. When we give. And when we study God's word, we're actually going to study it. So taking notes is part of that. It helps us go home. It helps us go back through it to think about it. Our digital notes are there. You can literally see them all week. You can go back, see previous notes. It'll save your responses. You can email them to yourself as a PDF, all kinds of cool things. And so we're going to do that. Guys, 2 weeks ago, we started this series called Abide. It is all about spiritual fruit. So we said, hey, most of us want to live lives that matter, right? We don't want to live lives that we spend all our time on earth just kind of spinning our wheels, and when we get to go to heaven, we look around, there's no reward. We want to live lives of eternal significance. We want to live lives where the time we spend on earth is spent storing up treasures in heaven. We want to live lives that cause us to bear a great amount of spiritual fruit. But we kind of said the only way to do that is if we maintain a close personal relationship with Jesus, right? A close personal relationship with Jesus. That's what abiding is about. And that is so different from religion, y'all. That is so different from routine. That is so different from ritual. And so we spent the first week just talking about how we maintain that close relationship with Jesus. It's really four key areas. Man, we've got to be consistent in prayer. Okay, we have to be. We've got to talk to Jesus all the time about everything. We've got to be consistent in study. That means that we're reading the Word on a regular basis. Why? Because the third thing is obedience. And we can't obey Jesus if we don't know what He says. So we have to spend time studying the Bible. And then lastly, we have to learn how to walk in this Holy Spirit. How to learn when the Spirit is tugging on our hearts and saying, no, don't do that. Or, hey, I want you to go talk to this person. And man, it just takes practice. It's kind of a little bit of the rest you could call science. This part's art, right? Learning the sway of the Spirit in your life. And so we've got to be good at those four things. Now, last week, we looked at the first sign that we're doing that. And that first sign, that first spiritual fruit, is the fruit of love. So I had you guys take a little self-assessment. I told you not to be too hard on yourself. I heard from some people after the week, they were like, well, I was pretty hard on myself, right? What do I do if I scored? Somebody said, what do I do if I scored like a 55? And I was like, there wasn't a scale, but you know, whatever. So you know, we all have room for improvement. But the point was, the way we're called to love each other, that's the first spiritual fruit. The way we're called to love each other is the way that God has loved us. And so this morning we're going to talk about the second fruit, that second sign that we've come to know the Lord, but also that we are indeed keeping in close relationship with Him, and that is the fruit of joy. Joy. So, you guys are joyous about this, right? You're kind of quiet this morning. It's fine. We're going to get happy. By the way, it's different from happiness. We're going to talk about that in a second. But let's pray, and may the joy of the Lord be our strength. Father, thank you for allowing us to gather this morning. I am pumped about getting into your word. I pray right now that joy of the Lord would be infectious in this place, that we would be excited about learning about this fruit, that we would take a hard look at our life and whether or not it is there, that it is present. We'd ask questions if it's not. Holy Spirit, we recognize every week you are the teacher of this church. You're our God. You're our personal teacher, but you are collectively the teacher of the church. Come take your place in our pulpit and teach us about this Jesus, about this joy of Jesus. Teach us about it from the inside out that we might be changed and transformed into Him, His image. In His name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, so guys, this morning, here's my goal. We're going to be in John 14 because I want to provide context for the whole series and what we're hearing in John 15, right? John 15, we've been studying this fruit of the Spirit, kind of. That's from Galatians 5, but John 15 is this whole abiding, right? And so the big key verse, John 15, 5, Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit. But without me, you can do nothing. And so I want to give you context of that. So context of all of chapter 15 actually occurs in chapter 14. And here's what we believe, that this whole discourse happens on the night that Jesus is betrayed. So just think about that with me. Jesus has already been in the upper room. He has shared the Last Supper with his disciples. He has washed their feet. Judas has betrayed him. He is on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he will be overcome. He'll pray and sweat drops of blood. Yet he has one more intimate teaching moment, and Jesus does what he often does. He has an object lesson. So whether they walk through a vineyard on the way, or there's a vineyard in the garden itself, at some point they walk past these vines, these branches, this fruit, and Jesus, like, knowingly says to them, he says, yeah, that's me. I'm the vine. You're the branches, man. If you remain in me, you're gonna be like this. You're gonna be abundant in fruit. But apart from me, you guys can do nothing. And so, guys, part of that conversation includes what we're gonna read here in John 14. And it's the backstory for what we've been talking about in John 15. So if you have your Bibles, I'm in John chapter 14, starting in verse 1. And here is what the Lord says to his disciples. There's 11 of them at this point. Judas is gone, all right? So he's gone off to betray Jesus. So here's what he's going to say to the 11. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If not, I would not have told you. I am going away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will take you to myself so that where I am, you may be also. You know the way to where I am going. Lord, Thomas says, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? I always love Thomas. Kind of freaking out, right? A little bit. He's doubting whether or not he really knows the way. And Jesus told him, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him. And you have seen him. He's talking about the fact that they have seen him. Like, that's the context of John 15, y'all. The context is Jesus, after he has told them time after time after time that he's going to die, but now he's telling, I'm leaving. Like, that's the context of I'm the vine, you're the branches. The context, the backstory, is Jesus is telling them, I am going away. I am going away. I am leaving you. I'm not going to be here. I'm returning to my Father. You guys need to pay attention to what I'm going to say. For you to be the people I expect you to be, you need to pay attention to what I'm going to say. For you to bear fruit, for you to be disciple makers, you need to listen to what I'm going to say, because I am going away. But he says, but don't let your hearts be troubled that I'm leaving. I'm coming back. I'm going to come back. He says, and besides, you know where I'm going. He says, it's me. Here's how you find me. You believe in me. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. So he's saying, I'm leaving. Now, Jesus is kind. How many of you, God has ever told you something and you didn't get it the first time? All right? So let's experience the grace of Jesus this morning. Because he knows his disciples, he knows his followers, and so he says it again, right? Now I'm in John 14, but I'm going to start in verse 18, right? I'm leaving, and now here we go in verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. This is the second time. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you'll see me, because I will live. You'll live too. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, that you are in me, and that I am in you. The one who has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. I also will love him and will reveal myself to him. That sounds just like John 15, right? If you obey my commands, then that's how you really love me. It's kind of spilling over in. But again, in the beauty of it, don't miss it. I'm leaving. That's what he says. I won't leave you. So he's leaving. Second time, he's going, hey guys, I'm leaving. I want you to get this. Now we get a glimpse of good news. He says, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, which actually we read about in John 16. That's after the vine and branches. But Jesus again is saying, I'm leaving. And just in case you're one of those people that the Lord speaks to you not once and you don't do it, not twice and you don't do it, but Jesus says it a third time. You guys are my people. Right? You know it, right? You don't want to say amen, but come on, because somebody out there, it's at least three times, right? Come on. Yep, let's go. So he says it again in verse 27 on the screen. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I don't give it to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled or fearful. Again, don't freak out, but I'm leaving. I am leaving. This is the context of I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus is saying, I am leaving. You need to remain in me. It's really, really important. Guys, that is our context. And it's the context of where we get our first clue about the second fruit of the Spirit, joy. Because we read this then in John 15, 11. Jesus says, I've told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. I've told you that I'm leaving. I've told you that I'm going to the Father. I told you that I'm preparing a place for you. I've told you that I'm coming back to take you with me. I've told you that I'm not leaving you alone. I've told you that I'm sending you a counselor. I've told you that my joy, I've told you all these things so that my joy will be in you and your joy will be complete. And this joy is the second fruit of the Spirit, right? The first is love, according to Paul, Galatians 5:22. The second fruit of the Spirit is joy. The fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Yes, we are going through all of them. The second one is joy. So four things I want to share with you based on all of that. I know that's a lot of backstory, but here we go. Four things this morning. Number one, I want you to understand that believing in Jesus is the only way we can attain the joy of the Lord. Okay? Believing in Jesus is the only way we can attain the joy of the Lord. It's the only way, right? John 15, 11, I've told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Couple things there. Whose joy is it? Is it our joy, right? No, it is not. He says, my joy may be in you. Jesus is owning it. He said, listen, I'm telling you these things because I'm leaving, but I want to put my joy in your life. But it's my joy. I've got to do it. That means that we can't produce it, right? So that's first and foremost, that it is the joy of Jesus. Secondly, is again, how we get it. We receive it. It is his. He gives it to us. His joy is a lot like his peace. We don't get it on our own. I just put this verse on the screen. Maybe you didn't catch it in verse 27, but here it is. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I, what's that word say? Give to you. I have to give it to you. You don't get it. You don't earn it. There's not some routine or some Christian practice you can do. You can't just pray for it. I got to hand it to you. I've got to give it to you. And it's the same about his joy. This is the joy of the Lord. And we cannot do anything. This is the context of John 15, right? I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you don't remain in me, you can do nothing, right? So we only get it when we're given it from him. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. The Greek word for joy is the word kahara. Kahara. And it literally speaks of joy that is received, by the way. That's what it means. Receive joy. And it shares a root for our word for grace. Kaharis. Kahara, kaharis. And do you know grace, right? What Bible verse do we know about grace? Oh, that's right, Ephesians 2, 8, 9. On the screen, you are saved by grace through faith. What does that next highlighted thing say? It's not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. It is the same with the joy of God. You can't produce it. There is no work that you can do. It's not like, you know, I know what science say. If you just smile more, you'll be happier. Joy, 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 down in my heart. Woo, down in my heart. Woo, down in my heart. Anybody remember that song? I didn't grow up in church, so I had to learn it as an adult. How odd is that? Right? Walking around singing little kid songs as an adult. Yeah, it is. I agree. But I could sing that song till I'm blue in the face. I can smile at myself all day, but I still can't produce the joy of the Lord. I can't make it happen. I've got to get it from him. That's the only place I can get it. That's the first thing I want you to understand. Believing in Jesus is the only way we can attain the joy of the Lord. Second thing I want you to understand is that joy, this joy of the Lord, and this thing we call happiness are two totally different things. They are not the same thing. The joy of the Lord and what we call happiness are not the same thing, right? So the word in the original language for joy talks about receiving joy, right? But the word for happiness in the original language, it's a totally different word. And the word for happiness in the Greek actually refers to, it's associated with well-being, with prosperity, or with blessedness. That's the only time you're happy if you're well, right? If you're prosperous, and literally if you're blessed. That's the only time you're happy. And what that's saying is that happiness is circumstantial, y'all. Happiness is a lot like what we talked about our version of love is. It's up, it's down, it's based on how I feel, it's based on those around me. Happiness is all about our circumstances, but listen to me, the joy of the Lord is not dependent on our circumstances, it is dependent on the God who reigns over all circumstances and is working them for the good of those that love him and are called according to his purpose. The joy of the Lord is based on a God who begins a work in sinful people like us and then promises those same sinful people, what I have begun in you, I will bring about to completion in you. So we have joy, right? It is radically different than any thought of happiness. And some of you, that's eye-opening because you've thought that the joy of the Lord had left you because life got hard. I'm just telling you, this joy is so different. Third thing I want to share with you this morning is that even though this joy is different, even though it's eternal in nature, it is possible to lose it or to have it stolen. Okay? This is a big deal, right? Happiness is about circumstance. This joy thing is not circumstantial, but it is still possible to lose it, Pastor? It's possible to have it stolen? Hold on, wait a second. You said it's not circumstantial. Well, I want to explain. But you just need to know that this is true. Okay? The joy of the Lord is eternal. It's based on who God is, right? God is eternal, right? God is eternal. It's based on what he's promised. It's based on that he's working towards a good end. By the way, hello, eternal life, heaven, right? I mean, that's why we have joy. Because we know how the story ends, right? We know that we will overcome because Jesus has overcome. We know that the tomb is empty, that Jesus is alive, that one day we will be alive. Therefore, we have hope. We have confidence of a future that we have not yet seen. Anybody? Can I get an amen from anybody this morning? Is anybody happy that like, listen, I've got this promise for a future, or y'all just want to, you think, no, I love this life right now. I just want to do this for eternity. So if you've got hope for a future, that's the joy we're talking about. It's this joy that can't be taken away. In that sense, it is there. But listen, we can lose it, and it can be stolen temporarily. And so I just want to, somebody says, well, Pastor, how do I do that? Well, first, let's talk about why this hope, we say it's eternal, okay? This eternal thought, this eternal life, that's why James can say things like this in James 1, 2, 3, 2 and 3. He says, consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, when you experience various trials because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. He's going to, man, you know what's to come. So you can consider hardship joy. It's why when the Bible speaks of Jesus, it can actually talk about the joy of Jesus and the cross in the same verse in Hebrews. They write this, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter of our faith. And ready? It says, for the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross. Whoa, what? Joy before him and the cross? Wait, joy and crucifixion? See, so yeah, the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. That's our shame. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's the eternal impact of joy. Jesus knew how the story ends, right? He knew how the story ends. So this joy of the Lord, it's eternal. It's about hope, but it can be lost or stolen. So how does that happen? Well, first let's talk about how we lose it. That's on us. We can lose the joy of the Lord anytime we step out of the Spirit of God. Okay? You remain in me, my words remain in you, you'll bear much fruit, but apart from me you can do nothing. So we can have no spiritual fruit if we're not keeping in step with the Spirit of God. And so listen, y'all, any time that we act out of disobedience, any period where we choose to gratify the cravings of our flesh over the drawing of the Spirit, any time we choose to step out of fellowship with Jesus, that can lead to a loss of joy. And again, that's because without Jesus, we can do nothing. Sin has this awful way of deadening our spiritual senses. When I was a youth pastor, I did this. I would call kids up on stage, and I had these big handfuls of ice, and I would put it in their hand. I'd be like, I'd start a timer. How long can you endure it? And they'd just be sitting there, and you'd see that one kid, I'm fine, but your fingers are really sensitive, right? Like, and then finally they drop it, their hand's all red. Their parents would be like, why is my kid's hand all red? I was like, I forgot to fill out the form. I'm so sorry. I wasn't a great youth pastor. Just, you know, whatever. We did lots of dangerous things. It was fine. They all lived. Yeah. And double checking, making sure. Then I called up a separate group, and I gave them, any of you have the big dish gloves at home still? Does anybody do that? Right? You know the rubber ones that go up to like your elbows, right? Super heavy. And then I put those on somebody, like, hello, I'm ready for your appointment. And then you know, put ice in there. And they just sat there for the whole time. And I just preached while they sat there and held ice and it melted and it didn't affect them. That glove represents what sin does to our heart. It calluses it, right? It covers it. And the way that we're meant to experience the things of God, we no longer experience, like the joy of the Lord. We just don't experience it because sin covers it. It calluses it. Keeps us from being who we're called to be. So y'all listen to me. We can lose our joy anytime we step out of what God wants us to do. Anytime. And this happens to the best of us, by the way. King David, a man after God's own heart, has this great desire to sleep with a woman that is not his wife. And he sleeps with Bathsheba. And then she gets pregnant and he tries to cover it up. So he murders her husband, right? Has her sent out to battle and murdered. And listen, God is not pleased with David. And while David is still a child of God, his fellowship, his intimacy with God is broken. And all of the fruit of God's Spirit in David's life is absent for a period of time. And we read about how that made David feel in Psalm 51. Listen to this prayer. It's just so gut-wrenching and heartfelt. He says, restore the joy of your salvation to me. Restore the joy of your salvation to me, Lord. Sustain me by giving me a willing spirit. He's like, I hate this, God. I don't want to be away from you anymore. I don't want to feel this way. I want to feel again. Restore unto me that joy for you that I've always had. Please, God, it is a heartfelt plea. But y'all, it's not just on us. It's not just about us losing it. It's another little mean truth. So we have an enemy that wants to steal it, called the devil. Jesus talks about him in John 10:10. He says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Yes, I use the NIV instead of the CSB. CSB says a thief. It's not a thief, y'all. It is the thief. The devil comes to steal and to kill and destroy. And y'all, one of the things he wants to steal is your joy. Because if he can take your joy, he can take your testimony. Because if he steals your joy, then you're so focused on how rough life is that you forget about the grace of God and the promise of heaven, that you stop preaching the gospel, and now suddenly your whole life is about how hard it is. And that's when we just walk around with our heads down instead of up, soaking in the glory of God, instead of telling people about the goodness of God. We just focus on everything that's jacked up in our own lives. And that is Satan stealing your joy. Charles Swindoll says there's three common joy stealers. I just wanted to give these to you. You might know if your joy had been stolen, if it had been swiped. Swiper, no swipey. All right? Three things: worry, stress, and fear. Here's how he defines them. I just thought I'd give you his definitions. He says worry is an inordinate anxiety about something that may or may not occur, and I love this at the end, and it usually doesn't. Worry is this ridiculous amount of anxiety about something that may or may not occur, and it usually doesn't. Stress, he says, is intense strain over a situation that we can't change or control, but God can. And he says fear. Fear is this dreadful uneasiness over danger or evil or pain. And all fear does is magnify our problems. Makes it seem like giants, right? Anybody ever had that happen to you? Something about this big has become this big in your life, and you are just crippled by this fear. It just looks so big, and yet it's just one little speed bump in life, but we've made it into a mountain. Swindoll calls these three things joy stealers, and he says the only way out of it, the only way out of it is to regularly remind ourselves that God is over all of it. That God, who began a work in you, cannot be thrown off by any of that. That he is still bringing you to completion. And then we start pushing those things aside and say, no, that's not of the Lord. That's not of the Lord. Satan, you can't steal my joy. God, I'm going to worship you. God, I'm going to walk in you. God, help me return to you. Right? Last thing I want to share with you is this, is that if we remain in Christ's love, which is the point of the series, the joy of God will overflow in us, and it will absolutely impact the lives of those around us. Okay? If we can remain in Christ's love, the joy of God will overflow in us, and it will impact those around us. And so I just want to go back to our verse. I'll pull it up here. Here we go, John 15:11 says, I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Why did I tell you these things? So my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. That word complete, it talks about being full, but it's the same word as abundant. It means overflowing. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus says, but I've come that you might have life, and you might have it abundantly. You might have it to the full. The word in Greek talks about, like, if we were to take a glass of water, and we were to keep pouring the water until it began to slowly leak over the top, if you got down low enough, you could see there's a little bit of water that actually rises above the rim. That's abundance. That's abundance, and here's the promise of God. If we will remain in Christ, then we will have this joy, and this joy will be so natural, y'all, that it will just come out of us and impact others, regardless of what we're going through, right? Regardless, for the joy set before us, right, we will live this kind of life, and what will happen is that people around you will see what you're going through, and they'll see the joy that you have, and they'll be like, what is wrong with you? What? Seriously? I mean, it's a question. Like, what? How can you have joy? Like, what is wrong with you? And the answer is no. Let me tell you what's right. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you that I have joy because he's over all this, because I'm not in control of this. I'm not going to stay up at night in worry or fear, but I'm going to pray to my God who has control over all things, and I'm going to ask him to do what I cannot. And man, that stuff, people want that. Y'all, people want that. They want the peace that you have. They want the joy that you have. So what do? Well, we start where we've started every week. First and foremost, I'm going to challenge you to receive Jesus. Y'all, we're talking about spiritual fruit. If you have no joy in your life, I'm talking biblical joy. I'm not talking worldly happiness, all right? We all go through seasons of not being happy, by the way. I love you. I'm just going to say that to you right now. We have lots of marriages here. We do have a great ministry called Reengage. We work on marriages on a regular basis almost all year long. And one of the things I love to say with married couples is, listen, marriage is not about happiness. It is about holiness. Okay? Like, it's great. You're going to have seasons of happiness, but God is going to use that other sinner to make you more like his son. That's how that works. Right? He's gonna use that other person to test your patience, to make sure that you're praying. That's how that works. I know I'm that way in my wife's life. She prays a lot because of me. She does. And she's a saint. All because of, no. So it's not about happiness. If you don't have the joy of the Lord, if you don't have confidence in heaven, if you don't know that you will overcome, if you don't know that this life is but a vapor, if you don't know that God has got this, if you don't know that God is going to use what you are going through and he is going to work it for good, even if you can't understand it, if you don't know that God can take grief and sorrow and turn it into joy and to dancing, if you haven't experienced that, then you may not have experienced him. Y'all, this whole series is about spiritual fruit, and you don't get spiritual fruit unless you've been born of the Spirit of God. It's a conversation with Jesus and Nicodemus in John chapter 3. So I don't say this to offend you. I'm just saying this. If you heard this stuff and it seemed totally foreign to you this morning, then maybe it's because you have not given your life to Jesus yet. It's not hard to do so, y'all. I don't want to make it sound over-churchy. It'd be as simple as a prayer like, Jesus, I want that in my life. Would you come into my life, forgive me my sins, just be in control? Pray that simple prayer. God will honor that. God wrecked my life in a great way through a simple prayer like that. Okay? So I want to challenge you with that. Number two, every week I want to challenge you to examine your life. So we're walking through the fruit of the Spirit, so you would ask yourself this question. Is this evident in me? Right? So last week was the love of God, and we had this little self-examination. I don't have a self-examination for joy. You should know it. Are your circumstances, every time something happens, are you thrown off course? Does your spiritual life crumble every time a hardship comes? Then something's up, y'all. Something's up. That means you're not keeping in step with the Spirit. If instead, when hardship comes, you go, man, that really stinks, but I know God's got this. Man, that's different. That's different. You've got to examine your life. And what do I do if I examine my life and the joy of the Lord is not where it should be, or it's just so-so? What do I do? Well, those four keys to remaining in Jesus. I pray a lot. I read his word a lot. I want to hear from him. I make it my point to do what he says. What does he say in his word? So I tell you not to worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, what you wear, right? Because the pagans, those without God, they run after all those things. But your heavenly Father knows what you need, right? Look at the flowers of the field. Look at the birds of the air. They don't spin or labor or sow away. Look at how your heavenly Father provides for them. If that's how he provides for the lily of the field that are here today and gone tomorrow, how much more will he provide for you of you of little faith? And I've read it, I've heard it, and I go, yeah. All right, God, my bad. My bad. Help me trust you. It changes my mind. It changes my heart. I get that joy of the Lord, trusting that God will provide, that this too shall pass. Amen. Last thing. Some of us this morning, we find ourselves in that place that David found himself. And maybe the devil has done a little thieving. Maybe the devil's done a little bit of stealing, but you've done a whole lot of losing. Amen? It's okay. That's why we come to church, by the way. Welcome. Look around. We're all in the same boat. Like, nobody walked through the doors going, I'm killing it today. Most of us got in an argument before we got here. It's okay. I always love it when I say that, and you're like, yep. Yep. It's true. So return to the Lord. Let him restore your joy. It's the prayer of David. It's the prayer of David. God, restore unto me the joy of your salvation. I don't want this anymore. And so, man, I just have this challenge to you this morning. If the words that I've been speaking have resonated in your chest, if something about you goes, man, I just want out of where I am. If you remember a time when the joy of the Lord just poured out of you and you're like, this place I'm in right now stinks, then cry out to God, God, restore the joy of my salvation. Man, do you remember what it was like when you first accepted Jesus? You guys remember? Dude, I remember I was wrecked in the best way possible. Nothing else mattered. I was like, let's go, right? I mean, I would just drive around, and instead of just praying for people, I would go to the person I was thinking about, which is crazy because I have ADD, and I would just drive to them and just start praying. Like, hey, God put you on my heart. They're like at work. Like, it's okay, come here for a second. It'd only take 5 minutes, man. God put you on my heart. Just want to tell you how much I love you. I want to pray for you right now. God is at work. Like, I just started, like, I didn't care. And it oozed out of everything that I was. I didn't care about my life. I didn't care about my retirement. I didn't care about whether my bills would be paid. I didn't care what kind of car I was driving. I didn't care what kind of clothes I was wearing. I didn't care about any of that stuff because God's grace was sufficient for every need I had. Anybody miss that? Anybody? So get it back. Get it back. Don't be content with being stuck where you are. Be like David. How long, O Lord, must I stay in the muck and the mire? By the way, I think God's answer to David was, until you repent, sucker. Right? It's kind of up to you, man. So get it back. So here's what I'm going to do this morning. I'm going to lead you in a word of prayer. I don't do this often, but I'm going to ask them up front. I don't even know they can do that. We're going to try to dim the lights. Is that cool? Y'all got this? Woo, they got this. They got me. She's going to dim the lights. And I'm only doing this, the band's not coming out, nothing like that. But man, I want you to have the freedom to not feel like everybody is staring at me. So just bow your heads where you are. Just go before the Lord right now. Just in a spirit of prayer. And just in that spirit of prayer and open honesty with God, if you're here and you know that you are lacking the joy of the Lord, it's become so apparent to you, the Holy Spirit has been yanking and tugging and screaming and yelling and whispering and all those things in your heart, and yet you feel like, man, I just want Jesus back so bad. I want the joy. Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Be like, I just want the joy of the Lord back in my life. I can see one. It's kind of dark in here. Two, how many of you would be brave enough with your hands up? Would you stand up where you are? It's okay. Just stand up. I just want the joy of the Lord in my life. Yeah. Yeah. Just going to stand up where I am. That's bravery, man. Thank you so much. And we are going to pray a special prayer over you right now. Nobody else is looking around. It's just you and the Lord. You're standing. You're saying, man, I want that joy back. If you're struggling with that, that's okay. But we're just going to pray right now. Dear God, forgive us for letting life, for letting our choices, for letting the enemy's attacks come in between us. This place stinks. And I don't want to be here anymore. God, would you please restore unto me the joy of your salvation? Could we please start again and start anew? Father, I pray for every brave person that you would wash over their guilt and wash over their shame, that you would take the distance and bring it together, that those seas would collapse and that all of the guilt and the fear and all of the distance would be swallowed up in the victory that you have provided, King Jesus, and that your joy would be theirs right now. God, for every heart here that doesn't know you yet, I pray that they would turn their life to you in faith. That they would ask you to come and to take control. And that as you do, that they would get what we're talking about. That they would get your joy. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. You guys may be seated. And we say amen.